Our first Bible reading is taken from the book of John. So it's John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. So John 6, starting at verse 1, and it's entitled, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down here with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Well, come and meet Jesus. Who is going to come and meet Jesus today? Well, as we see in John chapter 6, it's a hungry crowd that comes and meets Jesus today. Jesus has just previously made a name for himself in terms of he has healed a number of people. He healed a dying son and he restored a disabled man. And so people are interested. People are wondering what he'll do next. People might be coming hoping to be healed themselves. And so a large crowd has come and followed Jesus out into the dry areas. And so we can see, have a look in verse 2, a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. So they're interested in Jesus. They may not necessarily have faith in Jesus yet, but they're certainly interested. Well, when Jesus looks out, when this mass of people, it says 5,000 men, so maybe up to 20,000 people, if women and children have been brought along as well. And what's Jesus' response? What's Jesus' response? Well, Matthew's record of this same account says this about Jesus' response. It said, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. What a good word for our Sunday today. Jesus saw them, saw their need, saw their physical but also spiritual need, and his response was compassion. And so his next act was to help them, to provide for them physically especially. And so have a look at verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, that's one of the disciples, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Ridiculous question. Where, you know, what store has bread for 20,000 people? But verse 5, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip is shocked by this. And you know when your boss or a teacher or someone tells you to do something, you want to try and do it. But Philip sees this is impossible. He answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." And then another disciple, Andrew, he'll try and help in a very small way. He finds a boy who has five small barley loaves, and they're kind of the cheapest of the cheap bread that you could get, and two small fish. But how far will they go amongst so many? So the disciples are trying to support Jesus in this. But then Jesus has them sit down, and then you may well know the story. He breaks the bread, he breaks up the fish, and everyone has enough. Everyone has enough. And there's abundant leftover. Jesus provides with abundance. And so we see, first and foremost, Jesus providing for their physical needs. They're not going to last the day out in the wilderness wanting to be with Jesus. Jesus provides for them. And as compassion was Jesus' attitude, compassion should be our attitude as well towards those in need. And Compassion Australia seeks to provide for those in need, just like Jesus does here. Maybe not in a miraculous sense, but certainly in an organised, heartfelt way. And so let me explain a little bit about what Compassion does. Compassion as an organisation is child-focused, it's church-based, and it's Christ-centred. So let me start with it being child-focused. It was great to see so many of the children that I got to meet. We visited, on my trip, we visited a number of compassion projects, centres where they provide for children in lots of different ways. And I got to meet lots and lots of sponsor children, lots and lots of children who are sponsored like we do here. And similar to Jesus providing for the crowd, compassion provides. So we heard in Daniel's story that compassion provides for the children's needs for their education, which is so important for their future, with school supplies and uniforms and other things, so that children have as much opportunity to stay in school. There's a big pull for the children to work, particularly as they get older and drop out of school so that their family can have more. But we know how important education is for a child's future. Compassion provides for their medical needs as well, and for the child and for the family, which is so significant. A lot of the families that we saw could get by just day to day, but if there's a medical need, that's over and above what they often can afford. And compassion provides emergency food. So if there's a real acute need in one of the compassion families, they can step in and provide. And also the children, they come to the compassion centres every Saturday and they get a big meal every Saturday as well as part of the project. Also providing for, so there's a few of the children that we had at lunch with one of the days. Compassion also provides, as much as possible, a safe place for children. And so we headed to the head office of Compassion in the Philippines and got to meet the wonderful workers who are organising all this work. But also we heard of the dangers of child sexual exploitation, particularly for the Philippines. So you've got perfect conditions for this, sadly, because many people speak English and so can be accessed by English speakers around the world. And they have decent internet and IT infrastructure. And so those two combined means that child sexual exploitation is, sadly, a big feature of the Philippines. And Compassion are working with other organisations and in the centres are helping to provide a safe place so that children can disclose when things happen and find help and safety as well. While we were there in the office, in the head office, we saw how... Oh, no, sorry, this was... when we were in the centres, Compassion was also providing for their needs now, but also looking to provide for their dreams in the future. And so part of the work that they do on Saturday mornings with the children is to keep a journal or a diary that's called My Plan for Tomorrow. Poverty focuses on merely getting by day, but if compassion can help the children think about, well, what could be? What could be? How might they be lifted out of poverty? Then they can start thinking in that way. And so here's, for example, they've got different areas where it could be economic or spiritual growth or in health or in education. So here's an economic activity, thinking, okay, what might you want to do to make money in the future? And what steps could you take now towards that? We got to meet a lot of Compassion children, and we got to meet some of the adults that used to be Compassion sponsored children. And so we had a dinner to hear some of their stories. This lady here was a child sponsor, was a sponsored child. And what she loved was when her sponsor family wrote to her and shared, when they went traveling, they told her about their travels. And so she could go traveling herself. She could never afford to travel, but she felt that she could travel with them as they shared in their travel experiences. She grew up, sorry about the bad photos, but it was a little while ago. She grew up in a slum in Manila on the river, and she grew up as a squatter. So again, in one room on the river. One day, her father, who was the breadwinner, sadly died because he was drunk, walking home, fell into the river and drowned. And so she was with her mum, trying to work out how to survive. Compassion, she was sponsored through Compassion and has worked through the program. And now she shares that she has a proper house with more than one room, so it's much safer. And she thought that she'd be just like her parents, working struggling day to day to survive. But Compassion taught her to dream big. And so she's now an accountant, and her whole family has been lifted out of poverty as a result. And so Compassion Child Sponsorship is a wonderful way to provide for those in need, just as Jesus did here, and as he calls us to do. But that's only part of what compassion does. And Jesus has another priority, more than just meeting physical needs, as good as that is. Did you see in verse 6, Jesus said, he asked, where can we find bread for these people? He asked only to test Philip, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay, so Jesus has a plan here. He wants to provide for the needs of these people, but he's got a bigger picture in mind. He's got a bigger story to teach. And so after this episode, he withdrew from the crowd, crossed the lake, but the crowd followed, and Jesus now uses his provision of food for the crowd to share more about who he is and how to relate to God. So Sally's going to come up now and read the second part of our reading in John chapter 6. Thanks.
Yes, the reading continues from verse 25 in John chapter 6. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
Thanks, Sally. Very interesting that Jesus says, "Do not work for food that spoils." I reckon if one of the people who I've met in the Philippines heard that, they'd feel that stronger than we would, because the work that they do is for their next meal. And so they would see the value of each meal in sustaining their life. We don't really see that in our part of the world. We've got our food readily available and affordable, just. We don't see each meal as sustaining us necessarily, but they do. They do. We look to other things to give us that sense of life, things that we think we might need, whether it's the fancy meal or whether it's the next episode to entertain us, or the next travel plan that we are looking to have life in. But Jesus says, no, we're not to work for these things. Not saying, of course, never, so you don't eat, but they're not our focus. The focus instead is to work for food that endures for eternal life. There is something that we can work towards that will give us life forever. How do we get this? Well, it says, verse 27, "which the Son of Man will give you," talking about himself. "For on him," on the Son of Man, on Jesus, "God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Jesus is the one authorized to give this eternal food. So what is it? What work are we to do to get this food? That's what the disciples asked. 28, they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this." Okay, what's God's work? What does God want us to do? What's our career? The work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. Funny, the work of God is not really a work at all. It's an act of faith. It's an act of trust in the one whom God has sent. And we'll see why in just a little bit. And so, see the greater provision that God gives in chapter 6. He provided for them food, but food that will need to be keep, that will spoil, food that will need to keep eating. But now he has provided his Son so that we can have food that lasts for eternal life. And so compassion tries to do that as well. As well as being child-based, it's also church-based. So what I was really surprised at was at each compassion centre, we went to a church. All the compassion centres were run through churches. And the staff are so committed to the kids and seeing them and their families come to know Jesus. And through the centres, we got to see some of the back end as well. So these are the folders for each of the child, for each of the sponsored children. We got to see the thousands of letters that are written and how much they are appreciated. The children are so excited when they receive a letter from their sponsor. At the compassion centres, they deliberately taught about Jesus. And so in this class here, they're learning the names of the books of the Bible. They have fellowship with other Christians, and we heard lots of testimonies on how people came to Christ. I didn't understand how much compassion focuses on Christian discipleship. That is one of their biggest goals, because they know that in people trusting Jesus, they have food for eternity. One place that we went, so we were in Manila for most of it, or for some of it. We flew down to one of the islands, one of the more than 7,000 islands in the Philippines, to a place called Biliran, and we visited a very small fishing village where often in rural areas the poverty is worse. And we visited a compassion centre, and we met Pastor Dante, and he is going to share now what compassion does to help people come to know Jesus. Thanks, Harry.
Okay, my name is Pastor Dante Sonido. We just started the ministry for almost 22 years now, by the grace of God, and partnering with Compassion International since 2008. Compassion Project play a very important role in the ministry of to children, especially in bringing the good news of salvation to the family, to the community as well, and even to the neighboring barangays. So this is our vision that we are to be an influence, a light and soul to the community. That indeed it's an honor to be part of God's business in transforming lives. Because of this project, this ministry, a lot of families, a lot of children's lives become even better right now, simply because of the transforming power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, the young people are leading their own cell groups, their own Bible studies, and not just these young people, but also to the families. Now, there are families that all of them are coming out of the church regularly. They are serving the Lord. Our giving is not wasting. It's an investment for eternity, for the lives of the children, people that understood that our God is a living God, is the source of all things. So I think that's the great thing, that compassion impacted the life of the children or the parents as well. There is a changing moment in their lives that they really understand the importance of knowing the Lord. It is not the religion about religion, but it is all about personal relationship to the Lord. Every time I talk to them, I always encourage them to be a missionary. Not just missionary, you are doing always the pulpit ministry, but you can be a missionary in your vocation. If you are an engineer, if you are a nurse, if you are whatever profession that you have, wherever you go, you always carry the light, the joy of the Lord. Maybe one day you become also a sponsor, one of the child. When you got your dreams, don't forget where are you come from.
So everywhere we went, we got to see God at work through compassion centres. And everywhere we went, we were welcomed as brothers and sisters in Christ. We were welcomed as family. And even one of our guides said, when you enter into a compassion sponsorship, you become part of that child's family and they see you as family. And so we're welcomed as such. I'm going to share with you this girl that I met. She had just finished the Compassion Project program. So she's about 18 years old. She's now studying as a civil engineer. She joined Compassion at 6, probably with no thoughts of what to do in life. She felt useless when she was young, but had come to know the knowledge of Jesus through the activities, through the programs that happen in through Compassion. She says that she's experienced God. Her tears of hopelessness turned to joy. She noticed that God had chosen her, and she said, God choosing me was the biggest plot twist in my life. And so now her heart aches for those who don't know the gospel, and she's serving as a youth leader and doing other things. And so Compassion makes a real difference in the spiritual life of people. Because, back to the Bible, we see in verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And so we can look through to all different things to give us real nourishment, to give us lasting nourishment. And yet it's by believing in Jesus, by accepting him as our spiritual nourishment. That is who we are. That is how we receive the food that lasts through to eternal life. And as we sponsor children and support the work of Compassion, we are helping kids, and as you heard, their whole families and communities be exposed to Jesus and come to know him. I heard story after story of people going from hopelessness to hope in Jesus through child sponsorship. And so there'll be some practical ways that you can support Compassion, which Meryn will share a little bit later on. But let me pray in response to what God is doing through Compassion. Heavenly Father, we pray first for ourselves that we will not merely work for things that spoil. May that not be all that we work for. But may we work for the bread that lasts into eternal life. Help us to put our faith in Jesus day by day, and help us to support ministry to others so that they may receive this bread of eternal life as well. And we particularly pray for Compassion, and we thank you for all that you do through it, both providing for people's physical needs and for their spiritual needs as well. And we thank you for each of your children who you've called home through the work of Compassion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.